Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church Belfast.
And I was thinking this week about pressure, and I was thinking, is all pressure bad? Is all pressure bad? Right? No, sometimes pressure's good, right? Because what it does is it forces us to have a look sometimes at what's really going on. Now, I run the risk this morning of preaching and somebody going, oh, see your man, he's just fallen back into law. And you kind of think over the 10 years that I've been preaching grace, you really need to lean in, because there's times, right, where I kind of feel the Lord speaks to me really strongly. And I've checked this in with some of my pastor friends. And actually, I was speaking to one of them in particular this week. And before I said anything, he spoke to me. And he said, this is what I feel is going on with my church. And I was like, holy smokes, this is good that we've chatted, because it really helped me, all right? Do you get that? And so what I said, I want to say there's a couple of things. I'm going to look at some people in the Bible today. I'm going to help you, because one of the things that I have learned, and if we were to write our story, Penny and I, about it is a minor miracle. So I'm going to say a major miracle. Number one, that even I'm standing here today. That is the truth of it. And the truth of it is that we probably, and I'm saying this not so you go, we've probably walked through more as a couple, particularly when we got into ministry, than many of you will face in your whole lifetime. Now, part of that is the call. Because lots of people, I remember T.D. Jakes speaking one day, and he really inspired me. It's kind of like my guilty pleasure, big TD, do you know what I mean? I kind of see myself as like the Belfast version, you know? Now, granted, if you'd have to squint and I need to be half a mile away for you to even think that I might even... Do you know who I mean? We're all looking like TD. He's flipping awesome. I mean, seriously, I just have this wee dream, this wee guilty dream. Lord, if I could just go and wake up tomorrow morning and not look like him, because that would be really awkward, because he's like 79 or something and big and black, and clearly I'm not any of those things. Well, big maybe, but not black. So I said it for a penny. I can see her thinking it. But know that thing of waking up one day and just being able to preach in such a way that people actually get up and go, come on, give me more, as opposed to you people going, did I leave the iron on? Wish your mom would shut it. I have a chicken to get in here. We'll never get our dinner before the football if he doesn't rattle it. Come on, round it up, take it. Round it up. Isn't that right? I know you think that, but sure. But TD was saying one day, he said, you know, he was talking about people who look at the way that he dresses, and he said this thing about going, he said, you know, you might be able to wear a suit like mine, but you'll never wear it like I do. I, in my dress, in my bedroom, right? My dressing room sounds like I have a... As I was getting my makeup done that morning for the camera. My makeup is... do rightly. Go for it. All right? As I stood up and went, yes, that's it. That is... Come on, TD. You preach it. You machine, you. He was... Because I just... There was something that he encapsulated in that moment that really struck with me. And as I look at the faithfulness of God over my life, and, you know... One of the things that we're doing in this church, can I just say, is we are, why sometimes it can be, we're pioneering. Do you get that? Yeah. We're pioneering grace in Belfast, in one of the most religiously divided cities in the world. Not just that, but tomorrow we get the most liberal abortion laws. Same-sex marriage all happens tomorrow for the first time in our history. Now that's not, don't get angry with people, that is darkness, all right? Hello darkness, my old friend, to quote the song. That is spiritual. The devil hates men, women, and children, and he will do everything that he can to kill them. Do you understand that? Steal, killing, and destroying is not making you feel slightly upset because somebody looked at you funny. It's to wipe you out with no help, no hope of eternity. That's the battle that Jesus came, stepped right into to go, hey, listen, let me rescue you from this and show you grace. All right? And pioneering grace in the middle of a really religious divided city is pretty difficult. And we didn't understand what it would cost for us. So I want to tell you that today is not just something that I've read. It's something that we have lived. It's the reason why I'm standing here today. Because pressure, let me write you a book. All right? And it's not about pressure necessarily about circumstances. All right? It's pressure that happens whenever God starts to unveil and unveil Jesus in your life and what darkness does. Now, I'm not concentrating on darkness. I'm concentrating on Jesus. Do you understand that? But there's something about his understanding that the battle that goes on around us to rob you of that which Jesus has placed in you is a spiritual battle first and foremost. So don't be all, I'm not, I was thinking of doing that. I'm just going to get Penny to play and we're just going to call out. Remember, you at the back, I don't know your name, but the Lord's just shown me. Ooh. You know, that sort of stuff just to freak you out. I'm not going to do that, okay? But I want, oh, God, forgive me, God, forgive me, God, forgive me. I'm very used to that. Oh, God, forgive me, God, forgive me, God, forgive me. But I want you to really listen. Is that okay? So last week I said, because the way I look at it is this. There are three ways that pressure comes. Number one, it's just life. We live in a broken world. The world has fallen. And Jesus is coming to redeem the whole world, and I can't wait. I don't know. Sometimes I do think, oh, Jesus, come now. Anyone? Sometimes I'm driving along going, this would be a really good time. Don't know what's going on up there, but right now would be awesome. Rapture me in Jesus. Anyone? Yeah. You maybe say it multiple times during the day. I certainly do. And, but we have that. And what I said last week, I was speaking into that. And what did I say? Is that praise, putting the praise of God on your lips is one of the ways that you will keep yourself in the love of God. And there is pressure that comes, but when it's pressure that is just part of a broken world, what does the Lord say? You don't need to fight that battle. Remember, that was the encouragement I brought you last week. So stand firm. What do you stand firm in? The finished work of Jesus. I'm glad it really impacted you. Stand firm. Hold your position. What is your position? Righteousness. Thank you. And then you will see what? You will see salvation. You'll see soteria. You will see the fullness of the work come into your life. So when there's this stuff going on, you've got to stand firm. You've got to do that. Now, I want to say this. So that's one kind of pressure. But there's something under grace, which I think the Holy Spirit, because I was very encouraged when I was actually speaking to Josh, and we were very encouraged at this bit of the conversation about, okay, do you feel that? And he was like, no, absolutely. And it's this thing of going, sometimes church, listen to me, even under grace, the reason why you feel pressure is because you put yourself there. Yeah. Anybody? Sometimes we feel pressure because we're not mature enough yet and we need to grow up. Oh, but grace covers it all. You're always loved. The Lord's always trying to lead you grace upon grace from glory to glory. Do you understand me? But sometimes the reason why you wake up going, oh, is because you put yourself there in the first place. Now you need to, that's a bit quiet. I'm going to help you with it because I absolutely believe that even when you make a mess, all right? I mean, I'll pull all the bits of the Bible. The best thing is the prodigal, right? When the prodigal makes a mess, what does the Lord do? He just doesn't welcome him back. He restores to him with authority, able to speak into the very areas and operate in the very areas that he messed up. But was it the heart of the father that the wee lad ever went away in the first place? No. So you need to, some of you are going to need to buckle up this morning because I'm going to look at a guy called Moses. And I'm going to look at how sometimes the pressure that comes on us is because we make a mess. And here's the interesting thing about grace. Grace frees you from sin, does not free you to sin as you like. Do you understand that? It is the only way to stop operating in a cycle of sin is to receive grace. It says that in the book of Romans. When you put yourself under law, performance, you will harden the very thing and tighten the very thing in your life which is causing you to be sinful in the first place. That's why grace is so amazing, because grace for the first time says when you receive grace, it breaks the power of sin in your life. It breaks the power of wrong choice. It breaks the compulsion. Only grace does that, only unmerited favor. And when you see grace, all right, there should be a faith that rises up in you to do as the Lord leads. Because he's always leading you to goodness. This is the amazing thing. But you know what's amazing about us? We talk ourselves out. We talk ourselves out of where God is trying to lead us. Isn't it bonkers? The Lord says, I have grace for you. I have fullness for you. I want to lead you this way. And we go, hold on a wee second. I know, but. Anyone? Oh, for Gordon, I do it all the time. Gordon Bennett, Flippin' Nora, whoever. Get them all in. He's always trying to lead me, and then I talk myself out of it. I hear the Spirit of the Lord. Some people say, oh, that's grace. I just want to live in more fullness, Andrew. Right? Have you ever heard the Lord say to you about your giving? This is just, let me ground it in real life. The Lord says, be generous in your giving. We believe in the tithe. We believe in all of that. All right? But. Now, why would the Lord say that to you if he's trying to make your life more difficult? What do you really believe about the goodness of God? What do you really believe about the grace of God? Grace upon grace, fullness and abundance. And he speaks one thing, and then we talk ourselves out of it. He says, I'm trying to lead you to fullness. And you go, oh, I want the fullness, but don't lead me that way. Why don't you lead me my way into fullness? Do you want me to keep going? Okay, tough. I'm up here and I'm going for it. But I believe it's what the Lord wants to say to you. Listen to me. It's because Martin Lloyd-Jones says this. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Oh, come on, that is brilliant. Most of your unhappiness, because all you do is listen to yourself, rabbit on, it's not working, this, that, and the other, instead of talking to yourself about Jesus, who he is, standing firm in his work, listening to what he says, and then with faith, responding to the grace that God has given you. I'm going to help you with a couple of verses right at the very end, but let me just go right to them now, Shannon, if we can. The last two verses, this is one of the things that people under grace sometimes get wrong, and it brings pressure that the Lord never had for you. All right? And Penny and I have learned this the hard way, but we have stood, and you know what? That's why we I'm going to say, dress like this in terms of we keep going, because the Lord has built character in us to keep standing in grace. And if you want to know how to do that, let me just say right to the very end in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for you have been, the last two verses there, you have been, it's by grace you have been saved, what? Through faith. That is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So grace has been provided, and you access grace by how? By faith. Let me give you something. It's the whole way through. I'm just going to give you two verses. I'm going to talk on these in later weeks. Therefore, having been justified by faith, right, we have peace with God, shalom with God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by what? By faith into this grace where we stand. You following me? So you access, you walk into the fullness of God's grace through what? Through faith. Through believing when you see grace that he's leading me into fullness. We need to understand that a lot of sometimes the pressure that we get is that we receive the word of grace, but then we don't use faith to access it. Do you understand that? Are you following me? Faith is the gift that God has given you to respond to Jesus and who he is, but we talk ourselves out of it. We talk ourselves away from it. And then the result of that is when it's you at the center and not standing on the finished work, that's why you feel pressure. So sometimes we need to stop and ask ourselves, is this pressure from the world and pressure because of what is going on? Or is this pressure because I have heard what the Lord has said, I have heard the word of grace, but I have not yet mixed it with my faith to receive? Do you get that? And you need both. You need both, because when you do not respond in faith, when you see grace, faith is your response. And when you don't do that, and this is the bit that you do, I'm going to say that. This is the bit where you make your choice to go, he has revealed Jesus and his work to me. What is my response to that? Because when you first, for those of you who are saved and in the meeting, your first response whenever you heard the word of Jesus was what? Let me make it clear. If there was no faith response to grace, we would be universalists. Grace has appeared to all men, therefore all men are saved. But we don't believe that, do we? Grace has appeared to all men, and what do we do then? We respond in faith to that which Jesus has provided for us. Does that make sense? Yeah. You all had that experience at salvation? Well, the word tells you, as you received him then, so live it out that way. Because what you have done is you've received in faith that which was provided by grace. And that's how you continue. That's why some of you are disappointed with grace today. That's why some of us are going there. I feel pressure because I keep hearing this word, but it's not working out. And the Lord says to you today, actually, how are you? Are you talking yourself out of what I want to do for you? Because one pressure of circumstances, I've had lots of pressure in my life because people were just people, right? And I happened to bump into their dysfunction and their mess and their craziness, and had to work out sometimes well and sometimes not. But if I'm really honest with you today, there's stuff that brings me pressure because I am not responding to the grace which God has given me. I'm doing it my way. And then I'm getting disappointed. And then I'm feeling the pressure and I'm not stopping to go, hey, is this just me being immature? Because you know what? That's a word that Paul uses. Oh, some of you go, oh, that's not in the New Testament. Yes, it is. Paul, the father of grace, as he's described, the one who Jesus took and revealed over years, revealed to him the gospel of grace so that he could write it down for us. I mean, if you look at the masterpiece of grace, the book of Romans, Paul's epistle there, where he outlines everything for, you know, that we believe and have received today, righteous by faith, the gospel. But then he also at the same time on a parallel track goes, and you have to respond to it. And what the, is this okay? Because some of you will have a breakthrough because of this. Some of you have sat back and it's just grace, it's just grace. And the Lord really spoke to me this week and went, Andrew, because what I realize in my own life is Penny and I are responders. So whenever the Lord reveals something to us, we actually back it up with our faith to believe it. Even though we don't see it at times, even though we just don't understand it at times, we go, if that's who you are and that's what you reveal, then Jesus, my response is I'm in. I'm all in. I don't wait for the end result. You know, if we waited for the end result, you wouldn't be sitting here today and this church would be somewhere else. Do you get that? Every week I operate in faith to go, Lord, you told us to do this. I haven't seen it all yet, but my faith response is I will come prepared with the word, having listened to you, to feed your people well. That's my faith response to the grace that God gave me. If it was just grace, I wouldn't be here. Do you get that? And so there's some of you, this is where you need to listen to the Lord, right? Some of you, and go, and he will help you to discern, and he'll help you to see in my life, when pressure comes, because we have, if you want to talk about pressure in the round, we have to be honest and go, as human beings, we cause it sometimes. But you know, under grace, it's okay. Do you know what I love? It was Marcel, actually, Pastor Marcel, was the first person in my walk, and it was only 2015, not that long ago, all right? I think it was close to my 28th birthday, and I remember him speaking to me. And, every time, Kyle, every time. Boom, 29th birthday, you got me. And so I remember him saying around our dinner table, the first time he was ever in our home, and Cody was there, and I basically needed to fess up and go, we did this wrong, we did this wrong, we did this wrong, we did this wrong. I really messed this up. It was almost like, get it out, because then if you're going to reject this as well, we might as well get it over and done with early, because I can't take any more pain from Christians. That was my track. Isn't that right? So here it all is. And he just looked at me, as he does, and so what? What's the problem? He was Sean Connery. What was that? What was that? Yes, Miss Moneypenny. He didn't do that to Penny. What am I talking about? He had Penny in a headlock, and he was rubbing her head. Miss Moneypenny. Oh, help him, Jesus. I can see it in your eyes. Well, he looked at me. What did he say? I can't remember. I'm making this story up. No, he looked at me, right? He looked at me and he said, and yes, what do you think the Lord says about that? And I went, well, I don't really know. And he went, I don't really think the Lord cares. I'm going to stop with the Dutch accent because it's really putting me off. He said, actually, do you not believe there's grace for that? And I was like, yeah, there is. So even in your worst mistake, there's grace for it. Isn't that awesome? So take the pressure off yourself today to go, right? Even in your worst moments, with your worst mistake, there's grace for it. But you know, there's something that in me that goes, that grace is there, but I would much rather be living in such a place of God's favor and blessing and not banging my head off the same old, same old. When will I ever learn? Because sometimes the Lord says to me, you're under pressure, Andrew. And when I say the Lord, sometimes it's Penny, because it's hard to distinguish between the two in our house. Sometimes Penny will say, but it's true. Let me give you a real example. I haven't even got to the Bible yet. Maybe this will just be my sermon. It's true. Sometimes even in my business, I'll just go, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. A lack mentality will say whenever we have the opportunity to get business in, well, let's just do the business. And for most of last year, I was completely exhausted. Now, it's the here's the thing, it's the favor of God, right? God opening doors for me, which, and the business multiplying and favor on different bits of it that I would never have seen if it was just me, right? But then in the middle of that, not accessing the great, you know, what happens is then Penny would say to me, and it was actually the Lord speaking, you know, because that's what he does all the time, was going, Andrew, you know, you're tired, you're spending too much time at this, you're exhausted, you're flat. Now, do you really need to do, why are you choosing that? That's essentially what she's saying. Do you not trust the Lord enough that he's trying to lead you? So why don't you listen to the Lord the next time there's an opportunity and ask him, do I do this or not? The lack mentality says, do it, grab it. The faith mentality of saying, Lord, you're leading me from glory to glory, grace upon grace, goes, Lord, do I do this? Because if I don't do it, not only am I just provided for, there's so much more for me. There's so much better for me. So in the natural, it looks silly to say no, but in with the Lord's eyes, he just goes, fantastic, I'm leading you to even better. But when I choose to not live in faith, but to live in fear, what do? I bring pressure onto myself. And I have to be honest about that. That's immaturity. That's spiritual immaturity. But you know, the Lord says underneath it all, you know, it's like when my kids are immature, I don't cast them out of the house. I would like to. I would like, you know what I mean? It's like, Sophie, we have talked about this again. You know, Sophie is the muckiest kid in the world. We call her the dirt magnet in our house because you get her dressy Sunday mornings, highly stressful for me because Penny's normally here before me because I have to get the children organized, just throwing that out. And so, but one of the things about dressing her is almost you want to like wrap her in a rope so she can't move because within 35 seconds of you putting anything on her, she's bogging. She's absolutely, I mean, stinking. And we kind of go, how did she do that? She's only been sitting in the living room and her hair's a mess and she's covered. I go, what'd you do? Don't we know? And you know how we face. She's absolutely bogging. And you're going, ah. Now, get out, Sophie, and don't come back. We have talked about this every Sunday. Your dad's stressed. I've gone down and preached to those horrible, lovely people down there. And here I am, and you're bogging. And what's going to happen is, Mum won't shout at you. She'll shout at me. Why did you let her out like that? What do you think? Did you dress her in the dark? What is going on? It was, and I can't argue because I'm the adult and she's the six-year-old. This is my life, folks, all right? But what do I do? I go, Sophie, this is terrible. The pressure you put me onto, out, boot. I'm going to get another six-year-old or whatever age she is. How old is she? 7, thank you. All right? Do you know what? I'm at that stage of just randomly calling names in the house, hoping that someone will answer me. Do you ever do that? Yeah. You just call a name. Any name will do. Who's up there? Penny, Ben, Sophie, which one am I trying to call? Who cares? As long as somebody answers. But we don't do it, do we? We just put our arms around them, clean them up, and go, love you. So there's always grace for you. But what I'm trying to say is, actually says, let me get into my talk. 1 Corinthians 14 says this. Well, right back to the start there, Shana, you're earning your money today. Is, brothers, don't be children in your thinking. Don't be children. That's pretty straight, isn't it? Don't be children. Because when we're like children and we think like children, hey, the result's not going to be great. And the Lord's okay with kids. Just like we're, I'm trying to give you a real heartbeat of grace underneath us to go, he's okay with that. But he has so much more for you. He's trying to lead you. I don't, it's okay that we've got a wee dirt magnet in the house now, but see if she's going out to work like that when she's 23. We've got an issue. Which, part of me goes, she probably will. Do you know what I mean? Because she just does, she's so confident, she just doesn't care. She's like, You know, so I love it. I do actually secretly love it. Part of me goes, But you know, when she's 23, you know, you might have an issue if she's sitting in a restaurant and most of it's over the walls. I mean, she sits in our kitchen and she has one seat and we've nailed her to one seat because whatever she's eating ends up on the wall. How does that happen? At 23, that would not be cool. So the Lord says, but don't act like kids. And some of us under grace act like children. Almost like, but just give it to me anyway, Lord. The Lord loves you. But his love is a love which goes, I want to grow you and develop you into the fullness of who you are so that you can handle the bounty of my goodness in your life. All right? Not like winning some cosmic lottery, right? That's not grace. Grace is actually found in relationship where you fully discover the purpose that God has put into your life, where you fully discover why he put breath in you and caused you to live at this time for this purpose, all right? And one of the really interesting things about that is kids don't get that, but as we mature and we get older, all right? And how we mature, as I'm going to say this next week, is that that sense of purpose and who you are will always come out of being in his presence and around him. That's what Jesus was like. Jesus, I'm going to talk next week about how Jesus handled pressure. You'll love it. All right? And how, anyway, I don't want to do next week's sermon now. But here's my encouragement. Sometimes, here's what the Lord does with me, and this is why you need to get deep into the love of God, is because sometimes when I act like a child, I just feel the Lord go, come on, you're better than that. He doesn't go, you're better than that. He goes, come on, Andrew. So much more. And the way I reckon it in my thinking at times is for him to go, when I hear him speak, I just go, all right, if I make this decision and it's my fear and it's me not responding in faith to what the word says, how's that going to play out for me? I talk to myself that way and I coach myself that way to go, Lord, if I have an undying belief that I stand in righteousness, my position is righteous, so that when I hear you leading me, I want to step right into that, because every time I step into it, there's more fullness for me. I step out of it, pressure. Because where's the pressure come? You're now carrying. The Lord says, come to me. And it's not like a one-time transaction. Come to me and give me all your burdens. It's you live like that. You live in Sabbath rest. Right? So it's always responding in faith to that which has been revealed by grace. You access grace by believing. And I actually think when you see grace, Pastor Prince says it this way. Did anyone see him this week with the vice president of the US? Isn't that bonkers? If you didn't, he had a meeting with Vice President Pence in the White House this week, which is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. Fox News ran it and stuff like that. And he was talking about communion. So it wasn't about Joseph Prince. It was about take communion in America. It'll be really good for you. It's absolutely phenomenal. Go and check it out. So it's amazing what how the Lord is opening doors for the gospel of grace to get to the highest places, the most influential places in the world. And for Pastor Prince to be able to do that, which I just thought was amazing. All right? So look, is this okay? Is anyone feeling? Look, see if you're feeling something in here about going, you know, just listen to the Lord and go, help me with this, because he's leading you to freedom. He's leading you to freedom this morning. All right? So it's like, just don't be a hearer of the word. Be a doer of it. Don't be like a child, just hearing. Now, that's where faith will come. But then he says, mix it with some faith. Oh, you're very quiet. Good. So let me just nail it. In the book of Numbers, it's absolutely brilliant. So let's read Deuteronomy 34 first, okay? This is Moses. Moses is just about to die. I'm going to show you and compare and contrast the pressure that comes when the Lord is leading, right? And you take it into your own hands, or you respond negatively through fear instead of stepping right into it. What happens? This is Moses. He's just about to shift on that die. Then Moses went up to Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab and climbed Pisgah Peak, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead as far as Dan, all the land of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and the land of Judah, extending to the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, the Jordan Valley with Jericho, the city of Palms as far as Zoar, the whole thing, all right? Then the Lord said to Moses, this is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. You need to go quick. Now, I've allowed you to see it with your own eyes, but you will not enter the land. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, he died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. Remember the Moabites? And remember last week I talked about Jehoshaphat, and the Moabites and the Amorites were the ones who were attacking. So here's Moses actually dying in the land of the enemy and not in the land of fullness. So he had many battles, did our Moses, struggles, and he saw God move in incredible power, didn't he? I think if half of us saw it, even in part, what Moses had seen, we'd probably go, flip me, this is incredible. You know, this is very poignant, though, because you see him at the end of his life looking over the land that had been promised to him. I don't want anyone in this church or anyone who reads this or listens to this to ever get to a stage, particularly at the end of your life, all right? You know, some of the things, if you there's an amazing book I skimmed a few years ago about this palliative nurse. Nurse in palliative care, dealing with people who were in the end of life. And, you know, so that's the whole thing. If nobody says they ever worked harder or wish I'd done more hours in the office, you know, we've heard all that stuff. But you know what the big theme of that for me was? You know, I wish I had just had a go, right? I wish I didn't listen to my fear. Basically, how you summarize that was when people are confronted with the end, what they do is they go, oh, do I wish I could do it again? Because all the things that worried me, all the things that stressed me, all the things that I was afraid of, if I could do it all again, now that I'm facing the end, I would just have a rattle at it. All the things that worry us, all the things that trip us up now, when we are faced, and when people who don't know Jesus are faced with it, they'll go, do you know what? Take me back and I'm just going to have a crack at it. I'm not going to listen to all the naysayers in me and around me. I'm just going to have a go. Because all the things I worried about never happened anyway. And the things that did I worry about, I had no control over them, is essentially what they say. Now, how much more in faith can we respond to a promise from God himself to go, step into it, and I'm going to lead you to way more? Some of you this week need to step into it. That's what I'm saying. Some of you need to stop listening to yourself and start talking to yourself to go, I'm standing firm in righteousness. I'm not going to put myself under pressure through my lack of understanding of who Jesus is. But in the measure of what he has given me, I'm going to stand right on it and stand right into it. Amen? And I promise you, when you start to move and you start to get some movement into your life around believing and standing in the grace of God, but accessing it through the faith that he's already put in you, you don't need even, if you go, well, I don't have faith. Actually, under grace, the Lord says he's given it to you. It's his gift. Peace, this, the ability to believe God is already there. But you have to stop listening to your fear and start talking to yourself about who he is in you, what he has done in you, and then boom, pull the trigger and believe in the goodness of God. Amen?
I'm not really sure. I'd just rather be miserable.
Here's Moses. Moses is going to die without ever walking into the very thing that God had called him for. Now, you might say, hold on, he saw great stuff. Deliverance from Egypt, God providing lots more. But here's the point. Deliverance out of Egypt, when you were saved, was only your starting point. The Lord was always leading Moses into more. The whole point of Moses' life was not just to be delivered out of Egypt and to bring the people out. It was to lead them to fullness. Do you get that? It was to lead them into Canaan. Getting saved in the meeting is only the start. That's it. He started off so well, didn't he? Red Sea, plagues, blah, 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 all that stuff. Pharaoh's armies, drowned, supernatural provision. All of that was just the starters before the main course. Those little battles that the Lord has led you through have just been your starters, your little amuse-bouche, as the posh people would say, to give you the taste of God's goodness. To go, do you know what? Give me more of that. I don't want to live in the ups and downs from miracle to miracle, but let me walk in blessing and favor, resting in the fullness of Jesus. Amen? That's where he's leading you every time. Every time he speaks to you, it's to lead you to there. Not to make your life difficult, but to lead you to fullness every time you hear that prompting of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in your life. Every single time. Now, they start to grumble to people. They moan, they complain, they demonstrate gross selfishness, pride. And instead of inheriting all that God has for them, they wander around for 40 years. And the imagery could not be more plain for me. Wandering in a dry, arid, unfruitful place, living on the bare minimum, manna. And all the time, the Lord said, I'm trying to lead you to fullness. But what did they do? They grumbled, moaned, and complained. They listened to themselves rather than talking to themselves, and they lived under pressure. Stop listening to some of your stuff and start to talk about who he is. Take communion every day. Feed yourself on Jesus. Blast worship music from the moment you get up till your heart is settled on Jesus and who he is. Honestly,
I don't know, I'd just rather just do what I've always done, and you'll live under pressure that way.
Ask yourself, is the pressure because I'm choosing it? That's what kids do. Now Moses messes up and goes, oh flip, there's a point where this could have been so different for him. He literally sees it. I thought this week, you might have literally seen something that you really desire in your heart and you've seen it in somebody else. Is that the truth?
People who have walked in grace for a while, and you go, I would love to see what they have seen. Yeah. I know I do. This is what happens with Moses here. He's looking right out and going, I have literally seen this. With my own eyes, I have laid my eyes on this. Maybe at night when you close your eyes, when you dream, when you think, you know, don't get to the end of your days and think what might have been, folks. God's leading you today. Don't get to the end of the week and think that even. Right? Don't have your life made up of what ifs, but rather that he said, so I moved. Moses had a promise. He said, I told you, Moses. This is God speaking. I told you, this is the land. You can see it. I promised you that. I gave you that. It was already yours, provided by my grace for you. But he messes up. So he sends 12 spies into the land, isn't that right? And without doubt, this land is like nothing that they've ever seen before. Massive grapes have to carry them like this. It's bountiful, milk and honey. They've been wandering around for 40 years, dry and arid and shriveled up, right? And then they get a wee little taste. You get a little taste of grace and you go, give me more of that. Give me more of that. But what happens is, in verse 32, you read in Deuteronomy 14, it says only two people, Joshua and Caleb, step up. Everyone else goes, nah. And the negativity starts. And they start to listen to each other. They start to listen to themselves and their own fears rather than talking to themselves about who Jesus is. That's what happens. So there's only two of them, Joshua and Caleb. I'm going real fast here. They say, yeah, let's do this. Now Moses does something so stupid for a man who has seen God move. What does he do? Rather, whenever God sends him, these two guys, Joshua and Caleb, right, to step up, instead of listening to what the Lord said, I've given it to you, who does he listen to? The people. And this is the point that I think many of us are at. When we, this week, we have you have the promise of God over your life, every single one of you. You have the most beautiful promises written in the blood of Jesus for you in an unshakable covenant that will never be overturned for all of eternity. When he said it over you, he meant it. Joseph, do you get that? Every word of it. He's not a liar. He is a good father who takes all of your life, holds it in his hands and says, let me lead you out to maturity. He only ever says that. He doesn't bring wrath or condemnation or judgment or shame. He always says, let me lead you through to fullness. And then we listen to ourselves and we talk ourselves out of it. And we live in pressure. We live in pressure. Joshua is amazing for me, one of my favorite characters. What you see here is, I mean, they even get to the point where these people want to kill Caleb and Joshua. How messed up is that? But don't, you know, essentially what they do is they listen to their fear, they listen to the negativity, they listen to the cynicism. And I'm not saying that you find that in this church, but you'll find it all around you. That's why grace matters. That's why people who are righteous and standing in righteousness and grace really matter in your life. That's why this church matters to you. If you're wondering, does this church really matter? Absolutely. Because the whole world will steal the grace of God from you and cause you to carry the burden for your life on your own shoulders. It's good to be here to receive, isn't it? It's good to be here to receive, but not like kids, but we want to grow up. We want to grow up. And what's interesting, let me just say this, Joshua very quickly. I want to be like Joshua more and more. Do you know what's interesting? There were five negative voices for every Joshua and Caleb. They were outnumbered 5-1, but Joshua still goes, I'm standing firm, I'm holding my position, and I'm going to see salvation. I'm standing firm, I'm holding my position, and I want to see your salvation. So you know what he says to the people? Numbers 14, listen to this. If the Lord is pleased with us, he'll lead us into that land. A land flowing with milk and honey. And he'll give it to us. Why? Because he promised it to Moses. Listen to this. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And don't be afraid of the people of the land because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. I love that. Just look at those words. God, this is what God says over you today. I'm leading you to a place flowing with my goodness, my abundance, my provision. Just don't rebel. Do you know the word rebel there in Hebrew? Is resist me. Don't resist me. Don't push back on me. Don't do that. Because when you do that, what are you going to do? Bring pressure onto yourself. And don't be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. I love that. Devour is such a Belfast word, isn't it? I remember my granny saying when she used to get cross with people, I devoured them. And it was the first time I ever heard the word. She was a tough working class woman from Sandy Row, and she would have knocked your melt in. Right? She was the best woman. When we lived in Bangor, my father was sick with cancer. She was very protective of us, and she would have looked after us quite a bit because she lived beside us. And I remember, I have these fleeting memories. Because she was only about, she was like 3'9", right? But hard as nails. She lived to like she was 150 or something. And she just wouldn't, honestly, she was just, just super tough. And I can remember kids in the street, if I would come in upset, and she knew everything that was going on, and she used to say to me, "What'd he say to you, son?" And then I used to feel protective over the bullies, because I thought, oh, the last thing you need in your life, bully, is my granny. Because I watched her literally walk out, and she used to run, and she ran that quick, and she always wore high heels, but she used to run that quick, her arm went like that to keep her balanced, right? So I have this vague memory of her running after kids and literally devouring them. And me standing there going, oh, yes. Go on, granny, knock their melt in. All right? So part of me was like, you know, mess with me, you mess with my granny. And she had this reputation, but it was her word, devour them. And I had a feeling of what that was like. Because see, when my enemy would come, boom, she would knock them square. Not literally, but if she could have caught up with them, she would have done. All right? And she had to say to me was, what did he say to you, son? What did he say to you? He said that, granny. And she'd be out like a whippet, running like that with her arm going like mad. Like running around the street trying to beat wee lads up. I loved it. I'll devour him. That's the word. So actually, when I was reading this week, I thought of my granny. I thought, isn't it amazing? Because I had this picture, and maybe it's just the Lord encouraging me this week to go, see, when your enemy comes, you don't need to fight them. I'll go and devour them for you. But just don't resist me. Isn't that crazy? Why are you resisting me? Why do you think you can work it out better than me, the Lord says? I'm the one who's got the land. It's my land that I give to you. That's my grace. It's my promise that I give to you. It's my work that I give to you. Stand in it. Don't resist me, the Lord says. Who do we resist? The devil. We spend too much time resisting the one who's leading us to fullness rather than stopping and saying, Lord, I'm going to respond in faith to that which you have given me. I'm going to access all of this grace by faith. I love this. It's almost like, what are they going to do? Their protection's gone. They've got nothing against you. The Lord's with you, so don't be afraid. The Lord's with you, so do not be afraid. And there we see the difference. And I'm going to finish right now. It literally means resist. I'm going to say this. Some of us need to say this week, I'm going to have a positive response of faith to the grace that God has given me. You might listen to me. That does not mean that you will not, in your humanness, feel afraid. Do you get that? How many times in the Word does it say, don't be afraid? In Joshua chapter 1, where he's actually going to lead the people, don't be afraid. And the Lord keeps saying, don't be afraid. Do you know why? Because you have plenty of opportunities to be afraid. He wasn't saying it because it just was filling pages. Because he knows us. And in that knowledge of us, he loves us. Okay? And in that knowledge of us, he knows that our emotions, okay, will be up and down like a fiddler's elbow at times. Not knowing whether we are coming and going stuffed or mounted. And the Lord goes, that's okay, I love you, and I've got grace for you in that, don't worry about it. But I don't want that pressure in your life because you're choosing to resist me. That's why we unveil Jesus every week in here. That's why we unveil Jesus and who he is. That's why we unveil Jesus and his finished work, and we say, now take a big breath and stand there. Take a big breath and stand there. Because some of us are asking the Lord to fight the battle because we're not responding positively to him. We're responding in fear to him. So, go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Don't be like kids. Let's not be like kids this week. Let's learn to distinguish where the pressure comes from. I'm going to talk next week about there's pressure that comes in your life because you're right in the middle of what God's doing. You get that? But Jesus is the most incredible example for us. So we're going to look at that next week.